Here's another message from Pastor Phil Carswell from Life Christian Church.
My little talk this morning I've entitled Living on Purpose. Let me read a verse to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 9. It'll come up on the screen. And it says there, God who has called you into fellowship with his Son Jesus Christ our Lord is faithful. Let me read it to you in the Message version. And it says, God who got you started in this spiritual adventure shares with us the life of his Son and our Master Jesus. He'll never give up on you. Never forget that. Some good words there. But I was taken with the word spiritual adventure. Life is meant to be a spiritual adventure. It was Helen Keller, that lady that we so greatly admire. She said, life is either a daring adventure or it's nothing. So this morning, can I say to you, is life a spiritual adventure? Is life a daring adventure? Is adventure something that you would use as a word to describe life for you? Now, I've been horse riding a few times and I've enjoyed it. But my first experience was rather interesting. I have a little photo that was taken on that day. It'll come up on your screen. Okay. Yes, not supposed to laugh. You didn't. Let me tell you the story. Now, this photo was taken at one of the first camps ever held at Riverbend. So it was in the late 60s and early 70s. And for those that know people, you'll see that's Bob Sayre in the background there. There was no chapel, of course, and there was no rec hall back in those times. There was just one room and we did everything in that particular room. On this particular camp, they had a rodeo, and they held up in the northeast corner of the property, which is where I think they built the staff house there for Trevor and Merle, before the house was there. And I was about 18 or 19, as you can see from that photo. And of course, at that age, like everyone at that age, I was invincible and bulletproof. So I got on the horse, bareback as you can see. There was no instructions. There was no supervision. And I detected a smile on the horse's face as I got on. I thought he's very friendly. But then it happened. He must have had some Mustang blood in him because he took off like some crazy thing down the paddock with me still on board. And he attempted to go round the corner of the toilet block and the building where there was a large tree. Some of you will remember that. And the tree had low-hanging branches. And, of course, the horse's smile had now turned to a full-blooded laugh as he headed for the tree. So I ducked down as low as I could. Thank goodness I was young and had strong thigh muscles and strong pelvic floor muscles, I might add. And we went around the building and up the track and back. And the horse finally stopped. And I got off. This time, of course, the horse was collapsing with laughter. And I just want to tell you, you see, I had no control over where I was going. I had absolutely no control over what speed I was travelling. You know, life can sometimes feel like riding an out-of-control horse. We can easily be so pushed around by the challenges of life and numb by the routine pressures and distractions that we lose sight of where we're headed. We actually lose sight of what God's purpose is for our lives. When that happens, life is in survival mode. We're just trying to stay on the horse. Now, there are seasons of life, and we need to acknowledge that. When there's a new baby in the family, or when there's sickness or health issues, or when there are major challenges, there are seasons. And we know that life sometimes is out of control during those seasons. But, you know, that shouldn't be the continuing norm. It shouldn't be out of control for us. We need to take back that control. And it's time for us to take hold of the reins. Time for us to take back control of our lives, to refocus on God's purpose for our lives, passionate, enthusiastic, and motivated about life, because we know that we are part of something far bigger than our own personal world and our own personal circumstances. Living on purpose. Two things I want to suggest this morning which will help us with this. Firstly, prioritize your personal connection with God. You see, focusing on God's purpose for our lives helps us live life on purpose rather than by accident or living in survival mode or just trying to stay on the horse. God is the author of life, the mastermind behind the purpose of life. He is our leader and guide on this journey of life, and we need to regularly hear him speak into our lives. Now, I want to tell you an optional extra. This is an imperative. We need to hear God speak to our lives and speak into our lives. That is what gives us direction, encouragement, instruction, and correction. How and when does God speak to us? Well, obviously, we're going to think about our Bible reading. We're going to talk about that for a minute. But when we come to read the scriptures, what is our focus? Our focus ought to be hearing God speak. What is God saying to me? How does this apply to my life? It's not about information, but it's about revelation, illumination, application, and transformation. This should be something that happens almost routine for us. We should be hearing God speak in the normal, everyday routines of life. That's an imperative for us. Let me just give you one example of how these things happen. Recently, I've been reading in the Psalms. And a little while ago, I read Psalm 63 as my morning reading. In verse 2, it says, I've seen you in the sanctuary, and behold your power and glory. And I said, yes, I can identify with that. I've been to church services in the sanctuary, and I've beheld his glory, just like we have this morning. And it's been an enormous encouragement to me. I've seen God in his awesome power. It's been revealed to me. I understand that. And it's thrilled my heart to know that we serve a God who is awesome, who is the almighty, all-powerful God. I celebrate that in our church services. Then I got down to verse 6. And it says, on my bed I remember you. I think of you through the watches of the night. Now, the watches of the night, the Romans had four by 3-hour segments. The Jews had 3 by 4. So it was 6 p.m. till 10 p.m., 10 p.m. till 2 a.m., 2 a.m. till 6 a.m. The watches of the night. So God really said to me, Phil, do you think about me in the watches of the night? You see, when I wake, which is sometimes happens reasonably regularly, I wake at 2 or 3 in the morning. It's a bad time to wake. But what do I think about? Do I think about the God that I worshipped in the sanctuary? Often we're overcome with the challenges that we're facing in life, aren't we? And suddenly the challenges that we're facing in life, the issues and things that are going on in life at this particular point in time, they become much bigger than what they actually really are. And God is saying to me, do you see me in the watches of the night in the same way that you see me in the sanctuary? Well, it's a challenge, isn't it? It's a challenge. And then we get to verse 7. It says, because you are my help, I sing in the shadow of your wings. See, God hasn't changed. He's the same 3 o'clock in the morning as he is in the sanctuary when we are worshiping God in the church service. And that was the message that God was getting home to me. See, in the normal routines of life, in the normal readings that we have, God wants to speak to us through his scriptures. And we need to have that focus. This needs to be our bent in life. Hearing God speak. Can happen in our prayer times, in our quiet moments when we are walking. You know, I think we could pull dozens of people up here at the front this morning and they would tell you about how God has talked to them when they've been walking on the beach or out in the bush or wherever it might be. I can remember times when God has talked to me through the elements of what's happening in the waterfall, the mountain peak. And you're the same. But we need to be seeking that in our lives, hearing God speak to us. Sometimes it's through podcasts, sometimes it's through books, sometimes it's through music, sermons and church Sunday services, life groups, however it happens, it needs to happen. That's an imperative for us. Keeps us on track. Keeps us on track when life feels out of control. Let me read to you Romans 12 and 11. In the NIV, it says there, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. In the Message version, it says, don't burn out. Keep yourselves fueled and aflame. Keep yourselves, it says. See, it's not going to happen automatically. You've got to do something. It's up to us. It's an intentional decision that we need to make. Put yourself in a position where you can hear God speak. That's what I need to do. I need to continually put myself in a position where God can speak, where God can bless my life. Put myself in that position. Remember Zacchaeus, what did he do? Climbed a tree. Why did he do that? To see Jesus. Put himself in that position. And there was great blessing that came from his life because he put himself in that position. Remember Bartimaeus, sitting by the roadside as Jesus was walking out of Jericho. Bartimaeus was blind, begging by the street. Someone must have told him that it was Jesus because there was a noise in the crowd. So he thought, well, I need to put myself in the position for him to hear me. So he cried out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And the crowd tried to shut him down. But he cried out all the more, Jesus, have mercy on me. Jesus called him. And then he said the most extraordinary thing. He said, what do you want me to do for you? You know, it's so obvious what he needed. Why did Jesus say that? Because he wanted Bartimaeus to verbalize it. Jesus is saying, ask me. Ask me. And of course, there was an amazing miracle. He said, Lord, I want to receive my sight. And it happened right there on the spot. Maybe today, in your situation, there's something that's in life at this moment in time. There's a need that you have. And just maybe Jesus is saying, ask me. Ask me. Jesus is calling. He's singing that lovely song. Jesus is calling. We used to sing that song years ago. Pass me not, O gentle Saviour. Jesus is passing by. He's here. He's present. Ask me. Living on purpose. Firstly, we said prioritize your personal connection with God. Secondly, can I suggest to you, change your perspective on life. There's a story in John 5. It's a very interesting one. On this particular occasion, there was a feast of the Jews in Jerusalem at the Sheep Gate. There's a pool there. In Aramaic, it's called the Pool of Bethesda. Now, I've been to the Pool of Bethesda in Tasmania 9 times, and it's the most gorgeous place. But this is a different place. We're talking about Jerusalem, the city itself. And Jesus came there on this particular occasion, and there was a man there, a crippled man. And people must have told him, because Jesus said that understood that the man had been crippled for 38 years. And the long and short of it is that the Jewish leaders, of course, had been passing him by every day. But Jesus came in the normal routines of his life. It wasn't an out-of-the-way thing. It was his normal daily experience. And he came across this crippled man. And he said, in the long run, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. Happened to be the Sabbath day. So he got in trouble, didn't he, for carrying his mat. With some of those ridiculous rules that the leaders had on those occasions. And when the leaders didn't get satisfied in giving this guy a hard time, they'd come on to Jesus as well. And Jesus said in verse 17, Jesus said to them, "My Father is always at his work to this very day, and I too am working." See, God is always at work. He is at work in the lives of people he brings into your space in the normal everyday routines of life. That's changing our focus, changing our perspective on life. Because there's something bigger going on than your personal circumstances or personal world, and we have an opportunity to partner with God in everyday life. See, sometimes, folk, we think that we're at our most spiritual when we're in church. And now we know that God moves during altar calls and other times during Sunday church services. But I need to be reminded, and you need to be reminded, that God can move in the altar of your workplace or the altar of your normal everyday life. And Monday to Saturday, it's just as spiritual as the Sunday. There was a recent report of the survey on faith and belief. There was a large survey done just recently of Australians. Questions were asked about their faith and belief. And when they collated these things, some interesting facts came out. One of the things it said, why do people investigate spirituality? What causes people to investigate spirituality or the Christian faith? What causes people? The number one reason was observing people with genuine faith. The number two reason was experiencing personal trauma or significant life change. Remember the little girl? She woke up in the middle of the night and she was frightened. And she must have had a bad dream or something, and the dark frightened her. There were shadows in her little mind that frightened her. And of course, as soon as she stirred, Mum came running, as mums do, tucked her back in bed, kissed her again good night, and said, "Honey, God is here with you." And she said, "Yes, I know that, Mummy, but just at this moment in time, I need someone with skin on." Our friend, the world needs someone with skin on. God with skin on. And you and I are God with skin on. And that's a concept that we need to hold on to. People are looking and watching our faith. We're not perfect. At least I'm not. We're not perfect. And they're not expecting us to be perfect. But they are expecting us to see God in flesh, as it were. God with skin on. In the way that we live, the way that we love, and the way that we serve. Can I say to you that for too long the church has wanted to tell first and love second? Our agenda should be the pure and innocent goal of loving and serving. Did you get those words? Loving and serving. Loving and serving people in our communities, regardless of their spiritual stance, sexuality, criminal history, or mental condition. And we need to be reminded that some of the people we engage with in the routines of everyday life will end up following Jesus as a result of us loving and serving them. Let me tell you this story. This is a primary school teacher in a public school. And she emailed some of her friends. Listen carefully. This is what she says. I'm asking for your prayers for my students. I know everyone is busy, but if you ever can, I know there is power in specifically addressed prayers. Please pray for Randy. He's the smartest boy in my class. His mum speaks no English, and he's just moved from Washington. He's blind in his right eye because he poked his eye with a sharp tool when he was three. And Henry, who has a learning disability, he tries with all his little heart. It takes him about a minute or so to say two words. I think he's used to me now, but it was hard for him to keep up at first. Then there's Richard. A smile that could almost get him out of trouble. His mum can't be much older than I am. He's very smart and pretty naughty, just the way that I like him. And then there's Anna. She has a learning disability. Neither parent can read, write, or drive. They have four children. Who knows how they keep it together? She colours me a picture every single day, writes her spelling sentences about me. I'm the main character in the stories. And let me tell you, this school teacher in a public school, who does she work for, the education department, or does she work for God? Is she about making a living or making a difference? Loving and serving. Wayne attends Lifehouse Church in Wollongong. He started a furniture clearance outlet in 2010, and it's called Sell for Less. It'll come up on the screen for a moment. It's pretty clever. It's what he calls it, Sell for Less. Because if you read the words, it comes out selfless. That's very clever. He says, we're the only independent furniture clearance outlet in our city, and we're surrounded by every major competitor. We're the only store closed on Sundays, which is considered to be the second best trading day of the week. We don't open on Thursday nights either, and we've never advertised, and we don't have a website. Yet we've never had a loss-making week, which is 100% unheard of. We have not just survived, but thrived. None of it makes sense in the natural, and that's because we are partnering with God. God owns everything. And we are just stewards of all that is his. We have incredible favour. Our team prays together every morning at 8:40 before we open up. Customers are listened to, encouraged, and nearly every day a customer, supplier, or courier gets prayed for. Sometimes that happens three or four times a day. Some of us give permission to pray for them personally in our shop. We don't tell people we're a Christian business. For example, we don't have a Christian fist symbol on our front door. People will know who we are more through our actions than our words. My ministry is every day as God uses me and my co-workers to give people love, hope, and awesome value. What a blessing, a joy, and a peace to know that I'm doing exactly what God wants me to do and to be exactly where God wants me to be. I'm partnering with God, creating the most inspirational clearance outlet that provides awesome value. It's about loving and serving the community. Can I just talk to you about one more thing? Is that okay? Time's on our side. This is called the Joseph Mandate. In Genesis 39, Joseph was sold by his brothers as a slave down in Egypt. And a man by the name of Potiphar actually bought him as a slave. And the scripture says in Genesis 39 and verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph and he prospered. And he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes and he became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. From the time he put him in charge of his household and all that he owed, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian because of Joseph. The blessing of the Lord was on everything Potiphar had, both in the house and in the field. And you listen carefully, folk. You can make your workplace better. Not because you are naturally talented, but because God is working in and through your life. It's about loving and serving. What we said, life is a spiritual adventure. Is it? Is it a daring adventure? Is adventure something we would use to describe life? Two things to help us that we've talked about this morning. Prioritize your personal connection with God. Change your perspective on life. See it as an adventure of God working in and through us in the normal everyday routines of life.